Let's continue in our series through the book of Acts. If you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's word, we're going to read Acts chapter 3. We'll start at verse 17. Acts 3, verse 17. It says, "And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus." Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for this opportunity to come and gather among your people to hear from your word, God, and I pray that we would receive it today. Give us ears to hear, Lord, and a will to obey. Help me to preach plain and clear. I understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. As we're going through the book of Acts, we are seeing the church birth, the church on the move, the Holy Spirit moving through the apostles, Jesus building his church as he had promised and said he would do, and we're seeing things happen. Now, Peter and John were going into the temple to pray. We talked about this last week, and as they were going into the temple, there was a man that was lame. He'd been lame since birth, around 40 years, and Peter and John, through the power of Jesus, heals this man. He gets up, immediately walks, leaps, praising God, goes into the temple. Everybody recognizes him as the one that's been lame. They're astounded. They don't know what's going on. They're in wonder. And so they all rush out to Peter and John, and they're all crowded around wondering how in the world this happened. And then Peter has an opportunity to preach the word of God, and he boldly declares that this man is not healed by our own power. This man was healed by the power and the name and faith in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then he goes on and points out the fact that they were guilty of killing this man who healed the lame man, that they were guilty of killing Jesus. He said, "This man, Jesus, whom you crucified, the author of life, the righteous one, you asked for a murderer instead." Remember when Pilate brought Jesus out? Who do I release? Jesus or Barabbas? Give us Barabbas. You all chose the murderer instead, and you had Jesus crucified. But this man was healed by faith in the name of Jesus. God raised him from the dead, and today you witness this miracle because of him. He continues the sermon in verse 17 where we started this morning. "And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers." He kind of pulls back a little bit. He gets a little soft here. He softens up a little bit because he's, you know, the beginning of the message, like, "You all killed Jesus. You're the one that asked for a murder." He said, "But I know you didn't do it intentionally. I know you did it in ignorance. You didn't fully understand who Jesus was. You didn't recognize him as the Messiah." We get this same sentiment and awareness from Jesus himself. Remember when Jesus was on the cross and they were crucifying, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not." Paul picks this up also, and in 1 Corinthians he says that the rulers, the Jewish rulers, had they known that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, they would not have crucified him. In the Old Testament, you have what's called the high-handed sin. This is a sin committed against God that's done with intentionality. It's on purpose. I am purposefully blaspheming God, sinning against God, rejecting God. I willingly do it. That's a high-handed sin. Those who committed the high-handed sin were set apart and cut apart from the people of God, never to be restored. One of the consequences of murder in the Old Testament was death. Intentional murder. If you took someone's life, the law demanded that your life be taken. If you intentionally killed someone, then your life would be taken from you. However, the law also stipulated something different if a murder took place or a killing took place that was not intentional. That if you accidentally killed someone, not with the intention of killing them, but in the rage or whatever, you did kill someone, or through an accident someone was killed because of what you'd done, and it wasn't intentional, they had what was called a city of refuge. They had another area where the consequence of that sin being unintentional was that you had to leave your hometown, but you could flee to another area, a city of refuge, where your life would not be taken and you would be receiving the mercy there. And so what Peter is doing is when he's talking to the Jewish people, he's saying, I know you didn't intentionally, willingly kill the Son of God, the Messiah. And he's going to tell them a way to run to a city of refuge, a city of safety. He says, but what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, thus he fulfilled. He points out to the fact that though you killed him, and unintentionally you did not know who he was, God had foreordained and already set in motion that Jesus would die for the sins of humanity. Now here's where the good news comes in. Look at verse 19. He says, repent, therefore, and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. He says, repent. That means change your mind. He's telling them, change your mind on who Jesus is. You once didn't realize that Jesus was the Messiah. You rejected him. You said, there's no way that Jesus could be the Son of God. Now I'm asking you, change your mind. Realize that he rose from the dead and he is who he said he is. So I'm asking you to repent, to change your mind and turn back to God, or flee to God. Flee to Christ. Run to the cross and the resurrection of Jesus for your city of refuge, for your safety, for your mercy, and there you will find forgiveness of your sins. Your sins will be blotted out. The New American Standard uses the word wiped away. Sins wiped away. Sins blotted out. Now here's the reality. The Bible tells us that it's appointed for every man to die and then judgment. That we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And every single person who has not confessed faith in Jesus will have to give an account of every single word that you have spoken, every deed you have done, every sin you have committed, every thought that you have had, it's all being loaded down on the hard drive of your heart. And every single thing that we have done is recorded onto the computer of our heart in our life. And when we stand before God, God knows and will unveil everything that we have ever wanted to do or have done. It's bad news, isn't it? That every single thing would be recorded and brought to light. What you thought no one knew, God saw it. And it's recorded. And what happens is a life lived apart from Jesus is a life lived in the flesh. When we walk by the flesh, we will reap the results of the flesh, which is death and corruption. And so what happens is when we're not believers, when we live in the flesh, all our life we are downloading viruses into our system. Because all through life, there's pop-ups that come up. And you either have the choice to click the red X and get out of that, or you click on the picture. And throughout life, a life lived in the flesh is a life lived indulgence to the sinful desires. And when those pop-ups come, you click on them every time. And eventually, you start making this choice and this choice and this choice. And your life is shaped by the choices that you make. And you have run your life in amok. And you have got so many viruses downloaded into your heart. And you seem lost. And the thought that God will expose all that and we will stand and be held accountable to that. I don't know about you, but that's pretty scary. I don't want all of my sins exposed before God, right? I don't want everything that I've thought or what I've done to be brought to light before God. That's the bad news, but here's the good news. If you repent and turn to God, your sins will be wiped out, blotted out. All of the stuff you've downloaded in your life can be completely erased, completely taken away. He'll take the old hard drive, throw it away, put a new one in, and give you a new operating system. How about that? The Holy Spirit will live in you. And your sins will be remembered no more. So that the child of God, when we stand before God on judgment day, all of the sins have been wiped out. It's been erased. It's clean. There's no evidence there. Why? Because it's been wiped out and washed through the blood of Jesus. That's good news. And it says, then times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing. Whew. That day when you called upon Jesus to save you and you experienced the grace and the mercy, how many of y'all can remember that day when the burden of that sin just rolled away and you were like, thank you, Jesus, for saving me? Y'all remember that time of refreshing? That's a good place to be. This morning, if you have never called on the name of the Lord to save you, you will have to stand before a holy God and give an account for all you have done, or the things you should have done and didn't do. But if you repent, turn back to God, He will wipe away your sin and He will give you a time of refreshing, and the Holy Spirit will come into your life and seal you until the day of redemption. The presence of the Lord will come. He'll send the Christ that was appointed for you, Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit will come and live in us, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoring all the things about which God spoke the mouth through His holy prophets long ago. He says there's a season. There's a time of refreshing that is now. Some theologians call it the dispensation of grace. We're living in a unique time in history, and when we look at biblical history, we're living in a time after the first coming of Jesus and in between and awaiting the second coming of Jesus. The Bible tells us that Jesus is coming again, and when He comes again, He will restore all things and make all things new. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. The paradise of God will be restored, and all who trusted in Jesus will enter in, and those who have not will not. And so we're living in this season of refreshing. So the time to receive grace and mercy is now, not later. That's why the Bible is so emphatic when it says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, for today is the day of salvation. If you have never trusted in Jesus, the day to trust in Him is not tomorrow, it's not next week, it's not next month, it's not next year. The time to receive forgiveness, mercy, and have your sins wiped away is today. So whatever you're holding on to, whatever it is that you think that you have to have that you're not willing to let go, I'm going to ask you today to lay that down and run to God and receive His mercy. Verse 22, Peter says, Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers, and you shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. He says, if you knew your Bible, you would understand that Moses himself said that there was going to be someone greater than him that would come. And when he comes, when that prophet comes, you need to listen to him. Well, who is that prophet? Jesus. This is kind of reminiscent of the mountain transfiguration. You all remember when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the mountain, and Jesus was transfigured in their sight, and there was Moses and there was Elijah. And Peter got so excited, he thought, man, this is such amazing. He said, we need to build three booths, and let's have us just a worship time of worship, and let's just stay here on the mountain, and let's give praise. And then we got Elijah, we got the law and the prophets, and then we got Jesus. Oh, it can't get any better. And then a voice voice from heaven spoke, God the Father spoke and said, this is my son, listen to him. And so what Peter does is he takes those Jewish people who knew the Old Testament. And he says, Moses even informed you and told you that you don't need to listen to him, but you need to listen to the greater prophet. You need to listen to Jesus. And so Peter's saying, you need to trust in Jesus. You need to follow Jesus. Why? Because Jesus speaks to his children. He says, I am the shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. A stranger they will not follow. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus said, whoever loves me will what? Obey my commands. Well, listen and follow me. So he's pointing the people. He's saying, listen. He's pointing them to Jesus, the same that we would do today, this morning. Why? Because there's consequences of either receiving or rejecting Jesus. Look, and it shall be, verse 23, and it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet, that's Jesus, shall be destroyed from the people. He says, if you don't listen to Jesus, there is no hope for you. Here's the good news of the gospel and the horrendous news of the gospel. The good news is this. Jesus has provided salvation for everyone who would believe and call upon his name, for he died on the cross so that we might be forgiven. That's good news. And that Jesus who saved us and made a way for salvation, he is the one that can open the door to salvation and beckon all to come in. But that same Jesus is the same Jesus that if you reject him and refuse to call upon him for salvation, can close the door of salvation and lock it and condemn you for an eternity separated from him in a place called hell forever. And if you reject the voice of Christ, you have no hope. Verse 24. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaimed these days. He says, yeah, you got to be aware. The Old Testament was telling us this is what was going to happen. This is how God would speak to his people. He says, you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your father, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Hear Peter's cry to his people. Peter's Jewish. He's speaking to Jewish people. He's saying, you are people of the covenant. You have Abraham as your father. Do not miss again your Messiah. Realize who he is. Beforehand, in ignorance, you crucified him, but now I'm revealing to you and I'm proclaiming to you and I'm telling you who Jesus is, and I don't want you to miss him. I say the same is true today. That Peter would say the same message to us. Because we know that when God made that promise to Abraham back in Genesis, it was a preaching of the gospel. That God was making that promise to Abraham, not just so that the Jews could be saved, no, that through that line, that salvation would come even to the Gentiles. And so Paul will say, anyone who is in Christ, that he is the promised seed of Abraham, and that anyone in Christ is of Abraham's descendants. And so today the Bible would say this, even those of us who are Gentiles, Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Savior. He's the Lord. Don't miss him. He came to die for you. He came to bring you hope, to bring you life, to bring you peace. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. You may have come to church time and time again and heard the message over and over, and you walked out the doors lost, and you walked out the doors rejecting him. You may have done that time and time again, but this morning I'm asking you, don't do that today. Don't miss him once again. Don't feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit and brush it off and walk out not trusting in him. Today, respond. Come to faith. Receive Jesus as Christ. King and Lord. Verse 26, God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first. Came to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. To bless you. Now watch what he says, how we are blessed. To bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. That's a blessed life. You see, in America, we think a blessed life is bigger house, bigger car, more money, more stuff. But the Bible says a blessed life is when you have been turned from your wickedness. Salvation. When you have been rescued from the road that you're traveling. When you are walking in the flesh and you're heading to destruction and chaos and death, and then God, by his great grace, rescues and captures your heart, turns you around, and puts you on the road to everlasting life. That is a blessed life. Salvation is the blessed life. Now, in chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, we see the response. And the response to Peter's message is much like it is still today. And as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. There were some that day that heard Peter preach, and they rejected it. They rejected it. They were so angry and put off. In fact, they arrested them. There are people still today who hate the message of the gospel. Some of you may have that same type of response. Don't tell me, preacher, that I'm a sinner. That I need a Savior. I don't need this man named Jesus. I don't believe in your God. I don't believe that Jesus died for my sin. That's archaic, outdated. That is not for today. You quit preaching, preacher, that we're sinners in need of a Savior. I don't want to hear that stuff. There's still people who hate the message of the gospel. Depending on where you live, you can be called many things for preaching the gospel. Bigoted, hateful, narrow-minded. There will always be people who reject the gospel, but that does not stop us from preaching the gospel. No matter how unpopular it might be, and no matter how many people reject it, even if they threaten us, we still proclaim the gospel. For there is one name under heaven where men must be saved, and that is the name of Jesus. We will preach the gospel and continue to preach the gospel until he returns. Why? Because as long as we preach the gospel, though there are some who reject it, there will be many who receive it. Look at verse 4. But many of those who had heard the word, what did they do? Believed. And the number of the men came to be about 5,000. There were many who believed it. There were many that day who realized that they had crucified Jesus. And they were guilty. They didn't recognize who he was. But as Peter preached, the Holy Spirit opened up their eyes and they realized that this Jesus, he is the Messiah. He is Christ the Lord. He is Savior and he is Lord. And they called upon the name of the Lord that day and they were saved. What about you? What about you this morning? Have you called upon the name of the Lord for salvation, forgiveness of sin? Are you trusting in your own ways, ignoring the grace that's offered, refusing to accept this most gracious gift that he offers today? What will you choose today? How will you respond? Christian, what about you? You remember that day that you were saved? Oh man, how great that was, how exciting it was. How on fire you were. Man, you didn't care who knew that you were a believer. You just invited people to Jesus. You might not have known anything about the Bible. You may have called Job, Job, and Psalms, Pislums. But you just knew you loved Jesus. You'd be willing to face the gates of hell with a water pistol, because you were so in love with Jesus and you experienced that refreshing. Where's your joy at as a believer? Maybe you lost some of that joy. And today you need to say, Lord, man, forgive me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. May we never forget what Jesus has accomplished for us and that refreshment that we receive from the Holy Spirit. And he offers it up to everyone in the house today. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for calling to us and not leaving us in our sin. That through the preached word of God that we can hear who you are, what you have done. We thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice and the price you paid on Calvary's cross. Thank you that if we call upon you, you'll save us and blot out our sin and make us whole and clean. Today, Lord, there's some men and women here. They don't know you. They've never called upon you. And Lord, you know the hearts of everyone in this place today. You know what we're thinking. We know what we've done. You know what we're going to do. So today I pray that you would speak and call out from death to life. And there would be those today who would say, yes, Jesus, I need your saving grace. You are Lord. You are King. And those of us who know you, Lord, would be reminded of how sweet it is to be your child. For it's in Jesus' mighty name we do pray. Amen. And let's stand. Let's come. Let's respond. Let's pray.